In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works. And I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 83, Life Everlasting. The image looks like a host of angels in heaven. The caption reads, "Words can never give any idea of the bliss of heaven, where the good will continually enjoy God and be in the company of the saints and angels." Of heaven, David speaks, "They shall be inebriated with the plenty of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the torrent of thy pleasure." From Psalm 35, verse 9, St. John says of the blessed, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more." In the Apocalypse, chapter 21, verse 4. What do we mean by life everlasting? By life everlasting, we mean that there will be another existence after this present life, and in it the just will be happy for all eternity. In that life, the just will dwell in heaven with God in perfect and everlasting happiness. Heaven is both a place and a state. Our Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven and ascended into it. Heaven is a state. Even when the Blessed Virgin Mary, for example, appears to men, she does not leave heaven, which she carries with her in the state of her soul. This is why the good and holy have a foretaste of heaven even here on earth, in the peace and joy they possess in their hearts. Quote, "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling of God with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." From the Apocalypse, chapter 21, verses 2 and 3. Who are rewarded in heaven? Those are rewarded in heaven who die in the state of grace and have been purified in purgatory, if necessary, from all venial sin and all debt of temporal punishment. They see God face to face and shall forever in his glory. They see God face to face and share forever in his glory and happiness. We do not obtain heaven without working for it. He that for God's sake has suffered most and given up most will get the greatest reward in heaven. Quote, "He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world keeps it unto life everlasting." From St. John chapter 12, verse 25. As St. Paul says, quote, "Through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God." From Acts 14, 21. The greatest joy of heaven is the beatific vision. This is the sight of God face to face. This vision is called beatific because it completely fills with joy those who possess it. They know and love God to their utmost capacity and are known and loved by God in return. The beatific vision will satisfy completely and supremely all our desires. Having God, we shall never wish for anything else. Quote, "One day with the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." From the Second Epistle of St. Peter, chapter 3, verse 8. On earth, even when we obtain the dearest desires of our heart, we can never be completely happy. Quote, "We see now through a mirror in an obscure manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I have been known." From 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. in heaven, quote, they shall be inebriated with the plenty of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the torrent of thy pleasure. In Psalm 35, verse 9. The other joys and perfections of heaven will be numberless and of infinite variety. There will be neither sin, nor death, nor sorrow, nothing to cause trouble or affliction, nothing to mar the eternal bliss. Quote, they shall neither hunger nor thirst any more, neither shall the sun strike them nor the heat, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. In the Apocalypse chapter 7, verses 16 through 17. Our companions will be the Most Holy Virgin Mary, the angels and the saints. We shall be reunited with those we have loved on earth, and we shall love them there more intensely. There will be no more separation. Whatever we have desired to know here on earth, we shall learn in heaven. All the mysteries of faith and science will be revealed. After the resurrection, we shall have our bodily senses in heaven, and by them relish joys unending. Holy Scripture says of heaven, quote, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, what things God has prepared for those who love him. From 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, another quote, the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come that will be revealed in us. From Romans chapter 8, verse 18. This bliss will last for all eternity. The joys of heaven will always delight, and we shall have no fear of their ending, for heaven will be everlasting. Eternity has no measure. It is like a circle. We can spend our whole life going around a circle, but we shall never find an end. Each part is only the beginning. Eternity has no end. We can never have a proper conception of its duration, because we have nothing similar to eternity. Millions of ages are as nothing compared to eternity. If a bird were to carry away from the ocean one drop of water every 1,000 years, a time will come when it will have carried away the whole ocean. But that time is less than the shortest moment if compared to eternity. The reward and bliss of heaven will not be the same for all. The heavenly reward is given according to the goodness of the life each led on earth. In the same measure as we have loved God, he will reward us. However, each will be completely and supremely happy, because each will receive according to the fullness of his capacity. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another of the stars. From 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 41. In a similar way, if we fill a small glass and a great glass full to overflowing with water, one contains more than the other, yet neither can receive one more drop. Martyrs, virgins, doctors, that is, teachers of truth and religion, are promised a special joy and glory in heaven. In the same way, bodies, after joining the souls at the resurrection, will differ in brilliancy and beauty, as star differs from star in glory, but all will be perfect, without defect or blemish. Yet among the blessed there will be no envy. As St. Francis of Sales says, two children receive from their father each a piece of cloth to make a garment. The smaller child will not envy his brother the bigger garment, but will be quite satisfied with the one that fits him. The degree of glory of the blessed in heaven can neither be added to nor diminished for all eternity. And yet there are what we might term incidental glories, as, for example, on the feast days of the saints, when special masses and commemorations are held in their honor, or when more people pay veneration, etc. Quote, and night shall be no more, and they shall have no need of light of lamp or light of sun, for the Lord God will shed light upon them, and they shall reign forever and ever. From the Apocalypse, chapter 22, verse 5. What is meant by the word Amen, with which we end the Apostles' Creed? By the word Amen, with which we end the Apostles' Creed, is meant, so it is, or so be it. The word expresses our firm belief in all the doctrines that the Creed contains. Our Lord often used the word Amen, usually as a solemnly positive affirmation. Amen, amen, I say to thee, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. From St. John chapter 3, verse 3. I got another quote. Amen, amen, I say to you, you shall see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. From St. John chapter 1, verse 51. And that concludes our reading of this lesson. Okay, the beatific vision is where we will find the fulfillment of our every desire, of our every wish. It will be complete calm, peace, tranquility, joy, beauty. All these aspects are found in this beatific vision. And I think without realizing it, this is what we are all pursuing. I guess I never get tired of quoting St. Augustine, who begins the Confessions with the idea that our hearts are constantly restless until they rest in God. Until we have that beatific vision, there's nothing in this earth that's going to satisfy us. We were made to love and to be with the infinite, with the eternal. And there is nothing in this world that is infinite or eternal. They can distract us for a moment, but they always leave us wanting more, leave us feeling unfulfilled. And St. Augustine tells us in his Confessions how he pursued all these various things looking for God, but God was not in these things. He was looking in the wrong places, trying to make a God out of pleasure, out of the knowledge that he was seeking, his relationship with other people. And this is leaving him always dejected and sad. I think probably one of the most touching parts of St. Augustine's confession was the death of his companion. In that description, when his companion died, it was as if he himself had died as with him. St. Augustine felt the loss, the death of his friend was so striking to him, it was as if he himself had died. He began to look around in all the places he had once found such joy because he shared them with his friend. Now they brought him nothing but agony. And it was like a curse. And of course, after he goes through this really moving and touching description of the death of his friend and the emotions that it caused him, he tells us that this pain was not necessary. This pain was because he had made a God out of his friend. He thought his friend should be like God, eternal. There should be no end to it. And his misery was caused by this idolatry, if you will. Whenever we put our hearts in the things of this earth or the people of this earth, we are always doomed for disappointment. And another thing I like to bring up is that all those in heaven will be completely happy, though they have different mansions in heaven or different levels in heaven. Each one is eternally happy. There is no envy or jealousy. And I do like the idea of a small vessel and a large vessel filled with water. When they're completely full, they can't hold one drop more. It doesn't matter. The small vessel is completely full. It is completely happy, completely satisfied. And so is the large vessel. They can't hold one more drop of happiness, either one. They are filled to the brim. And so it is in heaven. Even though there are different sized vessels, everyone is completely filled with the love of God. And it will remain that way forever. And those in heaven will have There will be no longer any mysteries. There is nothing for them to wonder about. They will understand, they will see, they will know very clearly. And it almost seems like that is a kind of letdown, especially for me. I love the discovery. I love finding the truth or have someone explain these things to me learning discovery. That is really some of the greatest joy. And I can remember several years ago speaking with a young man about, you know, just foolish talk, you know, if I were God, what could I do? We could put wings on horses and have flying horses, and we could do this, and wouldn't it be fun? And all these things are like experiments. What would happen if I did this? What would happen if we did that? What would happen? And we could experiment and we could find out what would happen. But after a little while of this, I said to the young man, I says, but there's only one problem with this. If we're God and we could do all these things, we already know what's going to happen. And so the discovery is lost. And from that perspective, it seems to be pretty boring. The joy of finding out if we do this or if we do that, the whole joy of experimentation is going to be gone because there will be no need for experimentation. So our joy will be something else than the discovery. But our discovery, ultimately what we are looking for is God. In our pursuit of knowledge or wisdom or understanding, we are pursuing God. And when we see anything in this world that is enjoyable, that is beautiful, it is but a small reflection of God. And I think when we begin to understand that, we can truly appreciate the things of this earth in the manner that they reflect God, their creator. We can honor God. But in eternity, all of these will be coalesced and in heaven, and we will be able to see all these manifestations of God and rejoice in them because we have not only their reflection of God and our own reflection of God added to this, but we will have the complete presence, view, the vision of God unveiled once and for all when we get to eternity. Any questions or comments? Okay, then I think we will end with our prayer, our act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos et maniat semper. Amen.